welcome to Inspired Island, where every episode we sit down with someone living an inspired life here on Vashon Island in Puget Sound. From world-class artists and musicians to chefs and business owners, our little rural island has it all. I'm your host, Grace McCray, a new full-time Vashon Island resident, and thank you for joining me on this journey to discover why Vashon is such an inspired island. And welcome to today's episode. Today we have the chance to sit down with an islander who is very well known and appreciated in our island community, Emily Wigley. Welcome to Inspired Island, Emily.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And I would venture to guess that most Vashon Island residents or frequent visitors would know Emily as the woman behind the Orca Eats food truck. It's a very popular seasonal food truck. It's the sleek black truck with bold white font, keeping with the Orca color palette. And you may have seen it at the farmer's market or strawberry festival or parked downtown. And it's amassed quite a following and is known as some of the freshest and most seasonable grub available. And Orca Eats food truck has also been very instrumental in supporting our community via working with the food bank. And I'm really excited to learn more about that. But after 6 years of operations, Emily recently announced her retirement. And I hope this episode can serve as one way to commemorate her journey with Orca Eats here on Vashon Island, and also let more people in on what Emily's hopes and dreams are now entering her retirement. And Emily, before we dive deep into Orca Eats, I'd first love to get to know your backstory a little bit more. So I'd love to start with where you grew up and what you were like as a kid.
Okay, sure. I grew up in Menlo Park, California, which is now known as home of Meta and Facebook. It was a long time ago and a little bit far away when Silicon Valley was in its infancy. I am a really lucky person. I grew up as a really happy, just kind of a regular kid. I like to be outside, but I like to be inside. I was always a little bit in my own head. I liked nature a lot when I was little. And yeah, reading was good and friends and riding my bike all over the place. I was just kind of a typical American child of the time, I guess I'd say. Very suburban and happy.
And was cooking or food a big part of your childhood?
In a really natural way, I guess I would say it was. My mom was a really good cook, and she always wanted to share food with the people she cared for. And so I grew up either helping her in the kitchen or sitting on the floor. And when I was, you know, kind of too little to help, I would sit on the floor and read or color or whatever I did as a little person. Mostly I helped her with baking and things like that. The kitchen was her domain, unless it was sort of more of a, you know, a fun, desserty type of a thing, then I would help her with that. But for dinners and things like that, I didn't help that much. And then weirdly, when I was, it's just kind of funny to think about it now because this just doesn't happen anymore. But when I was about 13, I actually started volunteer waitressing in a wonderful restaurant that was 100% not for profit, and all their proceeds, including tips, went to the local family service agency in our county. So I waitressed on the weekends, just on Saturdays. And then when I was 16, there was a new young chef who was doing dinners, and she'd seen me waitressing, and she asked if I needed a summer job, and I did. And I became her assistant. And that was the beginning of the formal, that was my job type of a thing. So I did a ton of prep. And the second year I worked in the restaurant for pay, I became the dessert cook. And so I did all the pies and torts and cheesecakes and everything for the restaurant for lunches and dinners, which was really, it was really a joy. It was really, really fun. And then I did another year or two after that of restauranting. And then I didn't do any until I decided to be a crazy person and open a food truck when I was not very young. So, yeah.
And that's really interesting, because it seems like your formal roots in food actually had the intersection with public service, which you're very well known around here for.
Yeah, for sure. It was just kind of a part of it. And food, to me and in my family growing up, that was just kind of a part of it, that if you had food, you shared it, if it was, you know, appropriate, whether it was just having fun, having people over, or whatever it was. And people need to eat, so you help them. That's kind of where it comes from.
Nice. Yeah. And at this age, when you're young, just starting to start working outside of the house, what did you have your eyes on for a career for yourself?
Well, I was always an animal kid. I rode horses from about 9 on and really avidly from about 13 on. I had a horse all through my teen years. And I was like a lot of horse girls. I wanted to be a veterinarian and went to college and still thought maybe I was pre-vet. And then I realized, you know what? I don't want to be in the lab all that much. I don't want to do that. And I also didn't think I would be spending as much time actually kind of enjoyably working with horses if I was a vet. I knew I would be working with people, which I like, but it just kind of wasn't what I wanted to do. So changed my tune. Didn't do that. I graduated from high school in California in the Bay Area, and then I went to Whitman College in Walla Walla, and in a little tiny liberal arts school in the middle of nowhere, and it was a perfect fit for me. It was a really wonderful place, and I ended up with a degree in art history, which really just kind of is kind of the culmination of just dabbling in a lot of things and realizing, you know what, I'm going to study what I really enjoy, which is understanding the creative outlet of people throughout time. So that's what I did. And I've never used it in my work. No.
So what did you do early on in your career?
Early on in my career, it was back in the olden days in the early 80s is when I finished school and I moved to Seattle. And it was a really different landscape. I mean, people either went on to grad school for professional work or they just tried to figure out what to do. And I was kind of in the figure out what to do. I was a really fast typist. And this was in the olden days of typewriters, pre-PCs. And I was an executive secretary for years. So I worked in a bank downtown. I worked for MCI, the long distance company, they went away with Enron. And I also worked for the Pillsbury Company. And that was my last job before I decided to stay home after our first kid was born. And I was a regional secretary for grocery sales. And so it was a little bit of food, which was fun.
And where did you meet your husband?
I met him in Seattle through someone I knew. My husband is an avid sailboat racer. And a guy that I was actually dating at the time was my husband's crew. And I met him, and that other fellow and I didn't stay together, not because of my husband. Anyway, then we became friends and then more than friends and got married very soon thereafter. And so that's how I met him.
Mm-hmm. And so ultimately you named your business Orca Eats. Mm-hmm. When you lived in Seattle, were you into watching the orcas as they went
not
by?
Not so much. I've always been really, I guess I'd say, kind of tuned in and aware to marine life. When I was growing up, when I was riding my horse, I was lucky to do that activity. My brother, who's my only sibling, was an avid scuba diver with my father. And so my mom and I would go along with them and hang on the beach or the headlands of wherever in Monterey Bay usually and watch their bubbles as they were diving and appreciate their photos when they would come up and get things developed and have a picnic. And yeah, so the ocean was just always a huge, huge part of my life. And being on Vashon, you know, the orcas are around, and it just, actually, my brother named the truck. We were just brainstorming, and I have always liked the word eats, like those old diners or roadside cafes that have just a sign that says, like, eats, as in, like, vittles or eats or food or whatever. I've always liked that, and so my brother suggested Orca Eats, and just seemed like the right thing.
When did Vashon come onto the scene?
In 92, my husband and I got a little bit of a wild hair. We were living in Ballard in Seattle. And when Ballard was still just old Ballard and so different than it is now. But we decided that we really wanted more space so that I could have horses. I had started riding again. And we wanted to be right close to the sound for him for sailing. So we knew, we came to Vashon a bunch and we decided this was the place for us. So we moved over in 92.
And it was different back in 92,
it was,
right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think of myself as an old timer because I'm not from here, but I'm a old enough timer. Maybe I don't know how to describe that, but yeah, it's been 30 years now. So
wow. And so did you raise children here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. We moved here. Our first was almost 3.5, and our daughter was newborn when we moved to the island. So they grew up here and I think had a nice growing up and promptly moved away since they were adults, which I completely understand.
So when did the idea for Orca Eats start percolating?
Yeah, so I was a professional horsewoman for several years. I boarded horses at my place and I taught riding lessons for a long time. I had school horses and all that stuff, which I enjoyed thoroughly. I've always really liked service businesses more than products. I did have a product business for a while. I designed a product that I had made and I marketed for I think 8 years or so. It was waterproof, breathable gear for horse people. Oh. Saddle covers, rain pants, stuff like that. But I really didn't want my business to be at my house anymore, which is what it was when I had the horse business. And I just was ready to get back to food. Food is always, I mean, I like to eat and I like interesting, funny things. I like things that change all the time. Mm. I know I'm kind of fickle. I don't have a super long attention span. And so doing something where I literally could go out, sell the food, come home, park the truck, just was really appealing. So kind of a seasonal do it when I want to kind of a thing.
Okay. And did it take a lot of confidence to dive in, or was it something you didn't really even think twice about? I imagine getting a brand new venture off the ground requires some chutzpah, they say.
I think it does. I definitely have maybe more than enough confidence, but also like optimism, I would say, more than confidence. My husband built the truck. It was a nightmare because we bought a truck that we had worked on and it was supposed to be very close to being ready to go, and it wasn't. And a lot of the systems in the truck were actually in very bad shape and needed to be pulled out and redone. So we had a time. And so through all of that and, you know, permitting and things like that, it wasn't easy, but it was, I was really determined and just really wanted to do it. And so just, you know, kept at it and made it happen, I guess. But the being in a metal box on wheels and selling food is, you know, it's definitely not for everyone. And there are certainly a lot of styles and ways to go about doing it. I kind of think I have a little bit of an affinity for like a carnival barker. I have no problem like shouting out it's interesting to find people to buy food. It's just a funny little adventure every time you go out.
And was there much of a playbook when you started Orca Eats? Were you the first food truck? Were there others on the scene?
So Zamorana started with a taco truck.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And
okay.
Yeah. And I was so excited when their truck was open, because I had just always been a big taco truck enjoyer. And so that was really exciting to me. And then there were no other, there weren't really any other food trucks on the island. And there kind of was a little bit of a playbook. There's a wonderful organization called the Washington Food Truck Association. It's based in Western Washington. And they basically are the industry standard, if you will. And they help people and they answer questions. And it's a wonderful organization that I am proud to say I've been on the advisory board of for many years now. And I just love that, you know, if there's something that needs explaining or... I mean, we've gone to Olympia a few times and had bills passed that now help the industry. And there was always someone to ask, even if it was kind of an unknown question. There were certainly a ton of food trucks in Seattle and Tacoma. But yeah, it was kind of new on the island.
And I know your food truck is just so well known these days as having that service orientation for the entire community. I know you work with the food bank. Was that something that you had... baked into the original plans for Orca Eats?
I'm somewhat embarrassed to admit that a lot of what I've done has been by the seat of my pants. Sort of like, oh, wow, I think this sounds like a good thing to serve. Or, oh, this might be an interesting new way to do business. So which is one of the reasons I always chuckle, because, you know, what it says on the side of the truck is Orca Eats whatever it wants. And that's just really a nod to my fickleness, my kind of doing whatever I want. And also... kind of changing things up on the fly. So the first year I was open, I had wanted to do kind of a pay what you want sort of a day. And so I just did it. I think I put it out on social media that it was going to be a pay what you wish day. And it was incredibly successful. And a lot of people were wonderful. It just was really, really good. And it was a great way. Like at the end of the day, I had a couple customers who didn't have the ability to pay that day. And so I just said, well, you know, here's your lunch, no problem. And then I realized, oh, it's time to close up and I still had some food left. And so I shouted to them. They were a little ways away. I was serving over in the IGA parking lot. And I said, hey, if I boxed up the rest of this food, you know, would you all eat it tonight? And it was two young guys and they were terrific and they were grateful. And I was grateful. I didn't have to take food home, which is sometimes a problem. But anyway, it just kind of started the ball rolling. And so I did it again the next year and then the next year. And then COVID hit and I decided to close, and it felt really frustrating to not be helping in some way and having a little facility, if you will, you know, a truck. And so my cook at the time and I launched into making soup, and we just took individual, you know, deli containers of soup to the food bank, and it was chilled and it just needed to be heated. If someone wanted, they could eat it cold as well. It was vegan, so it was going to, you know, it was fine. It was all safe and well labeled and all of those good things, as it should be. And then at the end of doing soup, I think we did soup for about maybe 5 months or 6 months. And then at the end of the soup season, it was time to open for real because COVID was lightening up and vaccinations were happening and things. And so I just went back to the food bank and I said, how did this work? And they said, it was good. And I said, well, if you could change it up, what would you, you know, what would you like to see in the future? I still want to keep doing something probably in the fall, winter, early spring. And they said, well, we've always dreamed of a free lunch program. And I said, you got it. So I started taking donations from the community. And let me back up a little bit. When I did the soup project, I asked farmers for donations, which is interesting. And I learned really right away, obviously, people that are growing food are not, they're not going to have it until, you know, they're only going to have it available when it's in season. I do understand this. I have grown a lot of food myself, not as much as a real farmer. But it just sort of was... It was difficult to get just food donations to make into soup. And so so when we did the free lunch program, I thought, okay, now's the time when the entire community, not just folks that are growing food, but people who have dollars can help. And so I just put a dollar value on lunches and said, you know, if anyone wants to pay it forward, I'd be happy to take the money. It's a wonderful honor system because I'm not a nonprofit business. And so it's a faith. If someone gives me some money, they believe me. And fortunately, there's enough trust and I've been around a little long enough. But for whatever reason, people are okay with it. And I turn that money into grilled cheese sandwiches, vegan soup, and a homey dessert and a sparkling water. And so started serving lunches. And I cap it usually at 50 each time I'm at the food bank. And anybody is welcome to come and pick up some lunch, enough for themselves, for their household, for hungry friends that they're aware of, whatever. So, yeah, it's good.
That's so inspiring, just to kind of see how things land, evolve based on the feedback that the food bank gave to you. It's nice to be that flexible and have that spirit.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, being a tiny little nimble business is really important to me, always has been. I've always enjoyed that. So I guess, you know, I'll say I'm nimble and ever-changing and evolving rather than fickle and crazy, maybe.
It's all in the you know, messaging.
Exactly. I'm not always a pro at that, but yeah.
And it sounds like through some of your social media that some of this work with the free lunch program will continue.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I was hoping it was going to be November, but it looks like it may be December. I actually have some mechanical work that I need to have done on the truck, which for 6 years, I, knock on wood, never had a problem. Wow. Always got where I needed to go. The only flat tires I had were in the morning when I went out to look at the truck at my house and was like, oh, she's sitting kind of crooked. What is up? And, you know, so put new tires on, those kinds of things. My husband's a heck of a mechanic. And fortunately, he's able to, he built out the kitchen aspect of it and all of the, you know, the electrical and plumbing and all that systems. But he's also really good, like under the hood for the truck. So
you lucked out.
Yes, very much. So I always say that I probably could have done this without him, but I certainly would not have wanted to. It would have been really difficult. Yeah. So there's some mechanical work that needs to be done. And then as soon as that's done, we'll probably be only doing it once or twice a month. I'm going to try not to push myself too hard. But that's my goal, is to, in retirement, to continue to do free lunches. This, whatever, November, December, probably only through March. That's actually when my permit is up with the health department. So I'm just going to let it go.
Okay.
And the business will be closed. I've been teasing people, are saying, what are you doing with your truck? And you know how people build those beautiful outdoor kitchens at their homes and their backyards, and they have a big grill and, you know, all of the neat things that you have. Yeah. Well, I have a food truck in my backyard, so that's where I will cook for family and friends, and looking forward to that.
Summer parties.
Exactly.
And thinking back on this food truck experience, what would you say was the biggest hurdle or headache for you? It doesn't sound like it was mechanical, thankfully.
No, I would say really not dissimilar to any other tiny business, because it is a very tiny business.
Yeah.
And especially in this day and age, this post, during, whatever we're calling it, COVID time, it's employees. Mm. It's really tough. Yeah. And frankly, that's one of the reasons that I decided to throw in the towel. I mean, it's one of many reasons, but I always wanted to be a good employer. And I wished that I could have had a tiny team that I could offer a real job to.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. It was never really 40 hours. It was never going to happen to do, you know, to be the employer I wanted to be. So that's probably the toughest thing, is it is a really, it's seasonal, it's part-time, it's kind of a weird deal. And I know a lot of food truckers in the city, you know, they just either push really, really hard so that they can employ people more. It's kind of hard to do that on a little island like this. That's, you know, and I, frankly, I didn't want to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. It's hard work.
Yeah.
And so that's probably the biggest hurdle. It was also one of the most joyous hurdles, is I got to work with some really, really great people. And that's pretty cool.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And do you have any other favorite memories that really stick out in your mind from your time with Orca Eats?
I mean, a lot of kind of funny, wacky ones. You know, the times that we sold out like 12 minutes before we were scheduled to close. That's every, you know, pop-up food vendor's dream. And it doesn't happen very often. So those are memorable for sure. And then I was fortunate enough to be hired to cater some really spectacular parties, some weddings, fun backyard bashes. I had one really cool law firm that has offices all over the country. And one of their principals lives here on the island. And so they hosted their summer party for their employees. And that was just super fun. I did that a couple years, and it was, just taking part in people's celebrations and happiness. And food is so often a part of that I was always pleased to be able to play.
And I'm curious, what sticks out in your mind of any meals or menu items that were just so popular?
That's such a good question. So I'm a real big dessert-y. I like to eat dessert, and I've always liked to cook it. I mean, as I told you, I, you know, started baking stuff with my mom when I was a little one, and then doing the desserts in the restaurant where I worked when I was a teen. But chocolate pudding is just always a hit, and it's such a funny food. It's so humble and goofy, and most people don't make pudding. It's the easiest thing to make. It's super easy, and I think it's super delicious, and people love it. And I serve it in a little glass jar with the Orca Eats lid and whipped cream, and just, you know, here's your jar and your spoon and have a great day. People responded very well always to pudding. So that was it. And then savory wise, there were a few things that always stood out. I haven't served pulled pork in a few years, but I used to do pulled pork and mac and cheese quite a bit. And that was always a huge hit, either together or separately.
Mm.
And then deep fried mac and cheese, which is really delicious. Actually, the last wedding I served in September this year, right before I retired, the couple asked for mac and cheese, deep fried mac and cheese, as one of their appetizers. It made me so happy to have that, and it's really fun. I would say those. And then, you know, there's been some salmon and some. We do a pretty great Vietnamese style pork burger with lots of garlic and ginger, and that's a big hit always. So those are the highlights that I guess they come to mind.
Awesome. Those sound delicious. And you also, you mentioned like the glass container. I have noticed through my times going to Orca Eats and just on social media and through word of mouth that you and your, the folks that you work with have been very intentional with trying to be as eco-friendly as possible, and just be very like mindful about everything that goes into the food truck, which being a small business must be really difficult at times. Do you have any reflections, especially for any other people listening who are in the food industry, or I have a good family friend who's starting a food truck this year.
Wonderful.
Do you have any like tips or reflections or anything to share on that realm?
Don't use plastic, please. Okay. Don't use styrofoam, please. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to do those not so great things, just because of the regulations, which I think is fantastic. I've never used single use plastic in the truck, except for the deli containers for the soup project two years ago.
Yes.
And that one, I could not figure out a way around it, and it drove me crazy. But yeah, that was from the get go. I was never going to use single use plastic. So we've always used little wood forks and spoons, which at least a few times a year, someone screams at me and says, I hate how this feels in my mouth. And I always say, you know what? Me too. But you could always buy a stainless steel spoon and fork and carry it with you. Mm. I don't know. It's just, it's a choice that, it's a lot like feeding people. If people are hungry and they need food, I would like to feed them. If there are things that we're going to use once and throw them away, I don't want them here longer than I'm on this earth. You know, just like, no.
Yeah.
Just do it the right way.
Yeah, that's really inspiring.
Thanks.
And so Orca Eats is starting to sunset. What do you foresee at least your early years of retirement looking like?
Well, I actually have offered a couple people that I would be happy to make them a wager that no, I will not be starting a new business. No, I will not be taking a job anyplace. No, I am truly retired, and I can't stop smiling. I am so fortunate to be able to just say I'm all done with all of this stuff. So I have a little bit of volunteer work that I'll be doing. Not much on the island, mostly further away in communities I've been involved with. I'm just going to be a regular person who, like, you know, reads and folds her laundry when it comes out of the dryer.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very exciting, isn't it? Yeah.
Nice. And I've really enjoyed following Orca Eats's social media channels.
Yeah.
Do you foresee yourself continuing those in any capacity?
Continue to use the social media as it naturally needs to be used. I guess that's a terrible answer, I think, but not a very good marketing answer. But since I'm not quote unquote marketing the truck anymore, it doesn't seem like I don't really need to.
Yes.
But like, for example, I'm involved in a abortion fundraising bake sale program. We've been doing bake sales once a month, and the money just goes to Northwest Abortion Access Funds. So I'll use it for advertising that. And when I do get going with the free lunches, I'll definitely be using social media for that as well. I also have been saying for several years, and actually really am doing something about this other thing, which is I am writing a cookbook, but it is not a normal cookbook. It's a really wacky format that I'm not going to try and get into until it's ready for prime time, but I'll definitely be, of course, talking about that. So
we should still follow Orca Eats on Instagram.
Follow, yeah, absolutely. But yeah,
no, you're really good at the social media aspect.
It's just taking pictures of things that are interesting and not being shy, and I'm not very shy. So,
and are you still involved in horses at all?
I am. That's the other thing I'll do when I'm not like reading and knitting and cooking in the house. Is I have two horses, and yeah, so I'll be messing with my pals.
Aww.
Which is really nice.
Nice,
yeah.
Excellent. Well, I think that brings us to the fun lightning round of questions that we ask every Inspired Island guest.
Okay.
So the first question is, do you have a favorite beverage here on Vashon?
I am such a dud.
Okay.
I don't drink coffee. I don't go out to like have a beverage. I'm kind of a homebody, so kind of the answer is no. Like if I meet up with friends for a hot beverage, I'll just have a cup of tea or whatever.
Yeah.
I love good wine. So, you know, maybe in the evening with dinner, I will enjoy a good glass of wine.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Or as a tea drinker, I know my mother's a big tea aficionado. Going to the roastery with
Absolutely.
All the tea jars is pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is.
And if you're not at home or work, where can people most often find you on the island? Do you have any favorite haunts?
I walk at our place a lot. We have some woods on our property, so I use that for a lot of walking. If I'm not at home and I'm not at Thriftway, which is where I seem to be all the time lately, I don't know what's going on. I love Point Robinson. That's my favorite beach. And it's just so fun because, you know, with it being a point, you have kind of two long straight lines that you can walk and get different views. And and that's where I've seen orcas. And so that always is sort of, it's my beach away.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yes, there's nothing like orcas at Point
Absolutely.
Robinson. And do you have any pet peeves about island living?
I think probably like everybody, maybe the ferry. You know, my husband has always said that we live in a gated community and the Puget Sound is our gate. It's getting tougher and tougher, as we all know. So I guess that's probably my pet peeve. Other than that, I'm pretty live and let live. So the island's pretty great.
And do you have a favorite Vashon Island tradition?
I do. And it's so hokey, but I love Strawberry Festival and I love it in whatever shape it arrives in. You know, I was involved with the Chamber of Commerce for several years and, helping to make sure that happened before COVID, not so much after COVID, but seeing the evolution of festival, I just think has been wonderful. And I kind of don't care in the best of positive ways, like what it is. I just think it's great that it happens. Mm. And it's kind of neat. It's always, it's that midsummer fun.
And lastly, where can people find you to learn more about you and your work? And I think we already answered that. Follow Orca Eats on Instagram. It's at Orca Eats. Yep. And when fun projects arise, Emily will post there.
Definitely. And I do still have the website. It's tiny. You can always go to our website, orcaeats.com /shop, and donate to the free lunch program. And then just, when there's news, that's where it will be as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Well, enjoy retirement.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your 6 years of service here on Vashon.
It's my pleasure. It's great fun.
I'm sure it's going to be continuing in various forms. Yeah. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Grace.
And thank you for listening. Again, this is Inspired Island on Voice of Vashon, KVSH 101.9 FM LP. Until next time, stay inspired.